Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we played the clip before of Governor Christie in his State of the State address yesterday saying New Jersey, and who would have ever thought, has become a national model. At least it's become a national model for some people, national controversy for others. His first comment was about how much they've accomplished over the last year. 2% hard cap on property taxes, a 2% hard cap on local government salary arbitration awards to make the cap possible. So, yes, Chris Christie is a partisan hero, but his second comment in the State of the State?
My second comment is to say to this legislature and to the public watching or listening today, thank you. We haven't always agreed, and we haven't always gotten exactly what we've wanted, but we have achieved compromise, and the people of New Jersey are better off as a result. 1 year ago, at my inauguration, I invited the Senate President and the Speaker to engage in a symbolic handshake of cooperation, a commitment to worry less about who's getting credit and more about doing something worth getting credit for. Today, I want to thank Steve Sweeney and Sheila Oliver for using this last year of action to help begin to restore the public's faith in bipartisan government. Thank you both.
All right. Mike Kelly, columnist for The Record of Northern New Jersey, joins us now. Hi, Mike. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good. You in Bergen County?
I am indeed, yeah.
How's the snow? How are the roads?
It's actually beautiful. The sun is out. We had about 8 inches of snow. I live in Teaneck, which is about 3 miles from the George Washington Bridge. So if your listeners need a little bit of a reference point, the snow was about 8 inches. The plowing was, I guess New York came over and studied the New Jersey style of plowing, which is to get out early and often. And they were out all night plowing. So it's not bad. Actually, it's kind of pretty with the sunlight out. And frankly, as I reflect a little bit this morning on the fact that there are 1.1 million people homeless in Haiti, I think we can handle the snow up here.
I think so.
In northern New Jersey and New York.
And sure. In fact, that's our next segment after you and the State of the State is a call in for any Haitians listening to tell us what you think we should be talking about with respect to Haiti today here on that one anniversary. So I'm glad you tied it into that. And it is beautiful outside. We have windows. I can see from the studio how nice it is with the sun coming out. And this is exactly when they predicted that the snow would possibly be the hardest. Remember they were originally saying from 8 a.m. to noon today
might be
actually the hardest part of the storm. So nothing against meteorologists, but it shows that the fine art of meteorologists meteorology is an art as much as a science, right?
It is an art. I've written a number of columns critical of the kind of frenzy that particularly the television meteorologists get us into whenever even a rainstorm comes up the coast. And I think they've kind of gotten it right so far this year. I mean, they haven't totally blown it yet, but yeah, you're right, Brian. The heavy part of the snow was supposed to be this morning, and now I'm looking out and it's beautiful sunlight and it's nice.
So what do you think?
Winter can be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about that clip that we just played of Governor Christie thanking the Democrats who were in charge of the state Senate and the state assembly, Steve Sweeney, Sheila Oliver, for using this last year of action to help begin to restore the public's faith in bipartisan government? We've been looking all over Washington for bipartisanship, and we found it in Trenton?
I don't think so. Actually, I was watching that yesterday, and my eyes went directly to Sheila Oliver and Senate President Sweeney. And they look like they had just been told that they were going to be put on a diet of broccoli and spinach for the next year. I mean, they were not smiling when he turned around and thanked them. And they kind of nodded to him as if, you know, he had just said, you know, the two of you now need to go out and shovel the snow. It was astonishing. I think the image of bipartisanship in Trenton is really false. Christie has managed to politically really roll the Democrats. The Democrats are in total disarray in New Jersey, I believe, and largely because they've lost their message. They really don't I don't believe they know what they stand for anymore. And they are trying to hold up this notion that they are, you know, that they are in favor of lower taxes and that sort of thing. But the problem is that their main supporters are some of the unions, largely, namely the teachers union, for which Christie has gone after and very successfully gone after.
And I think some of the and I think some of the Democratic politicians have come to the conclusion that they don't even believe in everything that the union is trying to preserve.
Now, the Democrats are, in, as I said, in a sense of kind of message disarray, so to speak. They're trying to figure out how do they embrace, and I think this is going to happen nationally, how do Democrats in, who have been in favor of these higher pensions, higher contracts, and that sort of thing, how do they embrace a message of fiscal responsibility in this age when there are fewer dollars to pass around and yet still hold on to the support from, say, the teachers' union? I think it's going to be a very difficult question politically for the Democrats.
So here's another interesting clip from the State of the State having to do with taxes. We know Christie insisted the taxes go down on the wealthy even as he was closing the huge deficit with massive cuts last year. Right. But listen to how this thought kind of cuts both ways in the State of the State.
If New Jersey is to truly become a home for growth, we need to reform the taxes we place on business and individuals, and we need to begin to roll them back. So we need comprehensive tax reform, and by that I mean changes that are considered together, not in a piecemeal approach. In my budget next month, I will propose the initial installment of such a package. But let's be clear. We will not put in place tax cuts that we cannot pay for. Any economic incentive package that I will sign will be enacted in that context, and only in that context. The context of a constitutionally balanced budget.
So, Mike Kelly from The Record, why did he throw in that bit at the end about not putting in place tax cuts that we can't pay for? Is that an acknowledgement that tax cuts in times of high deficits seem to have backfired in Texas and in Nassau County?
And in New Jersey, all we have to do is think back to the Christie Whitman administration. I mean, just a little background here. New Jersey has a constitutional requirement that the budget be balanced. So that is what the governor is talking about there. But more importantly, what I think what is underlying all of this debate, Brian, is a question of how can they reduce the tax burden on, or at least stabilize the tax burden on everyone, and yet at the same time maintain the size of the government and the kinds of services that they provide. I mean, here is the problem in a nutshell in New Jersey, and Christie outlined it yesterday. They are in a hole, $54 billion shortfall with the state pension system. These are pensions that go for retired teachers, cops, all these kinds of people who, for better or for worse, they put their time in and they sign up for the deal. And at the end of their careers, they expect to have some kind of retirement. The problem is New Jersey has a $54 billion shortfall. That is almost twice the size of the annual state budget in New Jersey. At the same time, New Jersey has over 200 bridges in the state that are considered structurally deficient. So the bottom line is we don't have the money to pay our retired workers, and we don't have the money to fix our bridges. So what Christie is dealing with here is a basic problem of dollars and cents, and not only C-E-N-T-S, but S-E-N-S-E, which is how do you figure out how to manage this government where there's not enough resources?
Well, are there particular demands for additional tax cuts that he was kind of staving off by making that statement? Hasn't he already cut the taxes that he says needed to be cut, the income taxes on the wealthy so they don't move out of state, and the 2% property tax cap?
What would be interesting here is to see what he, as you correctly noted at the top of your broadcast, there was not a lot of specifics in this speech. He didn't say, I promise you, I'm going to reduce the income tax by X amount.
And for him, as for Governor Cuomo in New York, and right, most governors in most places, the budget address will contain those, and that comes in February.
It will. And actually, this particular address was interesting in how he what these addresses usually become, Brian, is that he kind of goes around the room and he talks about the environment, he talks about law enforcement, he talks about all, transportation, and you can kind of see the various lobbyists and interested parties perk up whenever he mentions their little cookie jar, so to speak. He didn't do that this time. He talked only about very specific issues, education, the pension problem, and taxes. And he was very scarce on specifics on what he's going to do with taxes, but he did say that he's gotten through the 2% cap on property taxes. And that is an important achievement, I think, Brian. I mean, my newspaper did an analysis last year of how much taxes have gone up. And in Bergen County, the property taxes went up 4.1%. In Passaic County, they went up almost 6%. So it's almost as if these towns and cities are trying to put through their own municipal tax hikes before the cap begins. So that was no small achievement by Christie to get that 2% cap. How that will play out in the coming months and years, I think, is going to be very interesting, because it's going to force towns, and particularly here in Bergen County, where we have, as we've talked about before on your show, we have police officers, the average salary for police officers is $100,000. And this is not exactly a crime-ridden area. This isn't the Bronx or other difficult areas in New York City. And at the same time, we have more pieces of fire equipment than the entire city of New York. So we have overdone it just here in Bergen County. And I think what Christie is saying, people need to kind of get smart about how they do government. Maybe we need to look to New York City. I don't know.
Listeners, are you more positive about Chris Christie if you didn't vote for him than you were when he took office or not? If you did vote for him, or whichever direction you have moved on Chris Christie, how about a series of quick calls, report card on Chris Christie from you, 212-433-WNYC. What is the state of the state of New Jersey, according to you? We've got about 5-10 more minutes with Mike Kelly. Give us a call and weigh in, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So next clip, and he does get pretty specific here, his next round of pension reform proposals.
The pension and benefit reforms I put forward are simple, they're straightforward, and they're sensible. We must modestly raise the retirement age in an era of longer life expectancy. We must curb the effect of COLAs in a time of low or no inflation. We must ensure a modest but acceptable contribution from employees towards their own retirement system.
Now, that was pretty specific.
It was. He didn't put any numbers in there, of course, but this is where the fiscal rubber is going to meet the road, Brian, because there is a perception among a large number of voters in this state, at least that's what I'm picking up, that public employees have had a kind of gravy train life. They work their 20 years, if they're police officers, 25 years. They retire with almost 100%, 90 to 100% pension, and they pay almost nothing for health care for the rest of their lives. And the private sector, as you know, is not like that at all. And so there is this shifting of how we work in America that's taken place, but the shift has not come to the public employees yet. And this is what Christie is talking about. And, you know, the kinds of issues that he is dealing with, you know, people in private business dealt with that 10 and 15 years ago, this whole issue of pensions and how do we secure our retirements and how do we pay for health care. Those issues were on the table 15 years ago in the private sector. Chris Christie is putting them on the table now with the public employees. And this battle is going to be, I think, extremely bloody. And here's why, Brian. Almost one out of every five voters in New Jersey is somehow connected to somebody with a public employee's job. Mm-hmm. That's a fairly significant number of voters. That's basically 20% of the electorate, and that's a significant voting block. And what Christie is talking about is taking that lifestyle of high pensions, paying very little for your health care as you retire, and turning that wagon over and spilling everything out on the sidewalk and saying, listen, folks, we need to rearrange this. And the battles we've already seen with the teachers indicate that this is going to be a very, very hard road.
How about Medicaid? Our Bob Henley is reporting that what didn't get much press, and there's no clip from the speech to play about
this, but
was a big buzz in the corridors in, you know, before the speech and after the speech, was Christie signing on with the GOP governors asking for relief from Washington over Medicaid. And in a way, as Bob points out, this is going to be the first real test of the validity of the Obama health reforms. It'll be at the state level when it comes to Medicaid, because with an effective 17% real unemployment rate, these Medicaid demands are going to skyrocket, you know, and more people under the reforms become eligible for Medicaid as their form of health insurance, and that goes back to the states.
I think you're right. And I think my guess, Brian, is that we'll probably hear more about that in the budget address, which takes place early next month. No, he didn't deal with that at all in this particular address, and probably rightly so from a political standpoint, and also just this particular address, it was mainly just to try to get out some major themes of what he wants to accomplish. And I think I think if he was to delve into the whole Medicaid issue, he could have probably wasted half of his speech just dealing with that alone, because it's extremely complicated. I would expect to hear more about that in the economics address, the budget address, which is early February.
Linda in Northern New Jersey, how are you doing? How's Christie doing?
Hi. I didn't vote for him, but I'm starting to like what he's doing more and more. I'm married to an architect, and our policeman, and even the person in our town who works, certain people in the town, they make way more money than my husband does. And he's an architect, and he works his butt off every day, you know. And I have to say that the policemen are out there. I go walking in the park, and the policemen, I see them sitting in their cars, sleeping in the park, and it makes me very angry. And I live on a dead end street with five teachers on my street, and it's a small street. My town has, I think, more teachers than most small towns in northern New Jersey, and it's just very frustrating because the cost of living is very high here, and I understand that these people probably need to make this kind of money to live in New Jersey. But it's just wrong. They don't pay anything into their health insurance. They're double dipping. I think it's wrong, and I think Christie's handling it very well.
Linda, thank you very much for your call. Maybe your husband should change from being an architect to police officer, you think?
No way.
Thank you very much. It is still hard work. So this sets up our final clip from the State of the State address perfectly. This is the one that's probably making the most news. This is also the longest clip that we'll play. This is almost 2 minutes. And it's the only time that he used the word demand in the speech. And not surprisingly, he's demanding from the teachers union. Listen.
In multiple categories and at multiple grade levels, the gap between at-risk students and those not at risk has changed little in years. It is way too high. Now, we must end the myth that more money equals better achievement. It is a failed legal theory, and we can no longer waste our children's time or the public's money waiting for it to work. We're running out of time. We are running out of time. The time for real reform is now. So here's what we have to do. First, we must empower principals. Second, we must reform poor performing public schools, or we must close them. We must cut out of classroom costs and focus our efforts on teachers and children. I propose that we reward the best teachers based on merit at the individual teacher level. I demand that layoffs, when they occur, be based on a merit system and not merely on seniority. I'm committed to improving the measurement and evaluation of teachers, and I have an expert task force of teachers, principals, and administrators working on that issue right now. And perhaps the most important step in that process is to give schools more power to remove underperforming teachers. The time for a national conversation on tenure is long past due. Teaching can no longer be the only profession where you have no rewards for excellence and no consequences for failure. Let New Jersey lead the way again. The time to eliminate teacher tenure is now.
Governor Christie from the State of the State address. We did shorten some of the applause within that bite, so to give him his due, applause happened, but we didn't want you to have to sit through it on the radio. And Mike Kelly from The Record is with us. And listeners, we have on our politics website, it's a freecountry.org, a thoroughly unscientific poll question based on that clip. And here it is. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is demanding that teacher layoffs, if necessary, be done by merit, not seniority. Do you support this position? Again, Christie is demanding that teacher layoffs, if necessary, be done by merit, not seniority. Do you support this position? Register your answer at itsafreecountry.org. Let's go right to a response from a New Jersey teacher calling in. Chris in Jersey City. Chris, thanks so much. You're on WNYC.
Thank you. Hi.
What are you thinking?
What am I thinking? I don't know where to start. I don't know what makes the governor such an authority on education. The man's a lawyer, the prosecutor. He's very good at that. He's running the state as a prosecutor. All right. Now, I can go on all personal examples, and I know everybody's got a lot of things, their neighbors, this, that. Okay. If he would come and get out of Morris County, all right, and go into some of these urban schools and see the conditions students as well as the teachers have to work under, all right, that's my first challenge. The second thing, he talks about reward and merit, okay? Sometimes rewards, you go into teaching because your rewards sometimes are not monetarily, all right? Teaching a child how to read, teaching a child to get along better with other people. So it's not all about based about money, all right? I'm a teacher. I'll make the sacrifice. But let's share the sacrifice, okay? Let's share the sacrifice. I didn't see him talk anything about that. The second thing he talks about, and all governors have talked about this, and the people in these little suburban towns along the Jersey Shore, Bergen County, Morris County, they all have their little kingdoms out there. They like their little schools. They like their little high school. It's part of community pride, et cetera. He doesn't talk about consolidating schools, fire departments out in Alpine, you know, Ringwood, all these little towns.
The very wealthy
because
districts.
Because he knows that's where the support is, okay?
So when he says teaching is the only profession where you have no rewards for excellence and no consequence for failure, that it's past time to have a national conversation about tenure, and that if layoffs need to occur, that he demands that they be based on merit, not seniority. On the merits of those particular arguments, do you disagree?
Well, that's the thing. Merit, I mean, who's the thing? The question is, how do you judge this? Okay. And that's a difficult thing.
Are you saying there's no way to judge the quality of work of an individual teacher?
Yes and no. But to put it all the emphasis on the teacher, what if these kids, especially in the urban districts that I work in, you know, the majority of the parents sometimes, the students come from non-speaking English families, all right? So we're trying to build up the student skills for students so when they go home, they might not hear English all day or, you know, for the rest of the day. You know, there's all these different variables that go into the equation, and I think it would be very, very difficult to iron it all out.
Chris, okay. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. And Mike Kelly from The Record, we're almost out of time. You know what?
Sure.
I wonder, to some degree, since job one is obviously balancing the budget, and it's
right.
Probably going to be even harder this year than last year because he already made such deep cuts, and now they've got another, what, $10 billion just like last year to close.
Roughly $11 billion structural deficit that they've got to close.
But yeah. This stuff about tenure and laying teachers off on the basis of merit, not seniority, even
right.
If he's right, this is not directly relevant to the budget, is it? This is a separate agenda?
No, it isn't directly related, Brian. That's a very good point. What he's doing, I believe, with the teachers is is sending a political message. You notice how he's decided to go after the educational establishment first, because I believe that's probably where he could be most successful. I believe the real battle is going to be with police officers when he starts to try to consolidate what your previous caller said, some of these small little fiefdoms, particularly up here in Bergen County, where we have 70 towns and almost 70 different police departments, if you can believe that. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think a real battle is going to take place. But what I think he's saying to the teachers and to voters in general
is
that...
And we have 30 seconds, Mike.
We need to find a new way of doing things. And he's going to start with some basic principles like tenure and work from there. I think that's what his methodology is here.
Mike Kelly, columnist for The Record, based in Bergen County. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Brian. It's
and
pleasure.
Callers, thanks to all of you. And keep posting your responses to the It's a Free Country thoroughly unscientific poll question on this, on the one very specific point. Christie is demanding that teacher layoffs, if necessary, be done by merit, not seniority. Do you support this position? Register your answer at itsafreecountry.org. And coming up in a minute on this first anniversary of the earthquake in Haiti, we will open our lines for any Haitians in our listening audience. Call us right now and tell us what you think it's important to know. We'll also talk to Rico Dupuis from a local radio station that serves Haitians in the New York area, and he's got a lot to say, but we want to hear from you. What does the world need to hear on this first anniversary of the earthquake? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692.